from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, don't get it. Let's get it sleepy. I'm just a luller with the tendency to drift. Let me give your pillows a puff and a shift, because friends beyond the binary, Scoots is here to lull you with singing a song that's for a couple of years old, my sleepy booze. Anyway, what was I saying? What? This may be your first time listening. You say, what? But it's time for Sleep With Me. A little bit silly, but don't get it twisted. I'm just a luller here. I think I already said that, with a tendency to go off topic and drift, because it's time for Sleep With Me. Okay. If you're a regular listener, here's a couple ways we keep the show going. And there's no singing after this, the credits and stuff, so thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Now, Mr. Bartle, a lot of people help out on this podcast. You have a list or a song of who helps out in this
Chris
show?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
Eric and the team that is down there on the website. I am the mystery bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
Song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want. SleepWithMePodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Great places to get a hold of me, check in, and see what sleepy stuff I'm posting about. I also want to thank Rachel P. and Brittany K. and everyone that supports the sponsors and shares about it. It makes me feel just so grateful because that's one of the ways we keep the show going. So I'm just full of gratitude when you do that. Thank you so much. It just lets them know what value they're getting by supporting the show. And that's it. What do you say we get on with this show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, the feelings, the physical sensations, the things you're thinking about, the things you're physically coming up for you or emotionally bubbling up for you, or all of them, you know, changes, your travel, seasonal stuff. Oh boy, stuffing, seasonal stuffing, any of those things. Whatever's keeping you up, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is try to create a safe place, as I said. So come on in. Get comfy or cozy if you wish. But you don't even need to do that. Because what I'm going to do, you could just take it for it. I do delivery. Because I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, extra dialogue, filler words, rumination, like thoughts on rumination. We'll be talking about that. It's a very strong word. You know, I'll be ruminating on rumination, the word rumination. Because I do like it. That's a tactile word. But let me get to the new. If you're new, let me give you a couple things to go by. Thanks for checking the show out. Let me structurally give you a lowdown, because it can be confusing. This is a new podcast. You're probably skeptical, which makes total sense. If this is your first encounter with creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders, I just want to get you comfortable, I guess would be the word. I was going to say organized, but you don't need to throw your stuff wherever you want or place it gently. You know, take your shoes off, leave them on. I also have these different other things. So, you know, we have socks, we have slippers, flats, those things that are on Facebook ads that you put on your feet. Look at all of that stuff. Structurally what to expect. The show starts off with just a few minutes of business. And then it goes into an intro. And it's not important for new listeners, but that's literally how we keep the show going and free. Then there's an intro, which we've just started. The intro is not an advertisement. It's a show within a show. For a new listener, it's a kind of weird, it's a bit of a contradiction, just like everything in the sleep podcast business that I'm involved in. Because it's here to kind of introduce a concept, introduce an impossible concept to the new listener, and to put the regular listener either at ease or have them fall asleep or be something familiar. Put a smile on your face or their face. So that's about 12 minutes, a 12-minute intro. And usually what happens is I talk, then I go off topic, which is what happens during the whole, that's why it's a show within a show. And then there'll be a little business between the intro and the show, and then a bedtime story. Tonight will be about an episode of The Good Place. And so the intro, sometimes people say, well, that you were just talking about nothing or self-promoting for 12 or 14 minutes. But no, no. Give it a shot. You don't, you, like, that's the other thing about the podcast. So it's a structure. But it's tough to process it the first few times. If you try to make sense of it or compare it to how normal podcasts are structured, yeah, ours is a little bit different. It's got full, you say, well, you put the, I don't know, you put the filling on the inside and the outside. And I say, that's right, I did. It's all fluff. It's layers of fluff. You say, well, I thought that was just the, no, you say, usually they just have the fluff at the top for a minute or two. And they say, no, ours is layers of fluff. So that's the structure of the show. Also, good news, no pressure to listen or make sense of things. You could just kick back and kind of passively consume the podcast. If it's your first fruit tries, you know, just kind of look at it like a strange, like a celestial body. Or just, you know what, just let's just keep it simple. A celestial object. You'd say, what is that up there? Moving so gently, or is it moving, or is it just fixated in place? Is it twinkling, or is it a, you know, you say, okay, well, let me just kick back. I wonder if that's a planet or a planetoid. And, you know, regular listeners would say, well, step down or below, what's a little bit less than a planetoid, but, you know, not a stroid. And you say, well, we don't know. So you don't need to listen, and you don't, there's no, actually, there's other contradiction, no pressure to fall asleep. This is a podcast that's here to keep you company as you fall asleep, so you can drift off as you wish. I'm going to be here for about an hour, and if you can't sleep, I'll be here till the very end to be your friend in the deep, dark night. And why do I make this podcast? Why do we talk about, like, I don't normally try to talk about rumination, but I think when you hear this, it'll be right after, in the U.S., the big, one of the big holidays. One of the better ones, in my opinion, because you get Thursday and Friday off, and I'm recording this before a time. So for me, you know, these event type holidays where there's a shared meal, they can come, and then there's the because they say, you know, you get the decoration pressure, because then you say, well, the next holiday's coming up, and, I had to move. The only way I could take down my holiday decorations from 2014 was to move. And believe it or not, there must be a list somewhere, because my landlord literally said, you know, if you put anything up, you got to take it down right away. And I said, well, then we just won't have decorations. But we'll see. So there's that kind of rigmarole. Then there's the, like, if it's before or after. If it's after, you could be processing how things went, you know. I'm trying to do this in a circuitous way. But ahead of time, you know, there could be, you say, what am I going to bring? What am I going to make? Why do I got to bring stuff? That could always be something. And you say, how did they figure out making a holiday that's just a big potluck? Why don't they just call it potluck? They could just call it, we could, you know, let's change, can we, is that okay to change the mythology around it? No, okay. Because I found a mythical, I do have these mythical, as Thanksgiving is a holiday I'm talking about, figures in my life, in my cabinets. Even though I moved, I found a can of Sunny Select turkey gravy with expiration date of 2013 on it. And that is even a layer of rumination. It's like, well, one, why did you move with it? I said, good question. So I could use it in a podcast intro, maybe. Two, What's going on with that? And they said, well, I was worried, one, about a gravy shortage. The great, you know, didn't you read those articles about the great gravy shortage of once upon a time? No. Also, by the way, Scooch, you also have two other things, like turkey gravy in your cake. Okay. So then you have that S-H-A-M-E word. And again, this is, I'm sharing this with you so you can relate. So you say, well, I'm not alone. And they say, well, do I owe that grave? So I say, oh, should I write an ode? Oh, great. Oh, turkey gravy. Hear my voice across the night. Hear my ode of apology for not using thee except in my anxiety. Oh, turkey gravy, I beg you to forgive me. Or at least, you know what? No, no, you don't need to. That was the wrong way. I was, well, I don't know if I was wrong to purchase you. So that's, but I was wrong, or was I wrong not to use you? I guess I was wrong with my intention, oh, turkey gravy, because I just bought you just in case, worried I would be invited to a random Thanksgiving, unpredictably not on Thanksgiving Day. And I would have to grab you so I could get entrance and not feel embarrassed that I didn't bring anything. And there you sat in my cabinet, sitting there, oh, turkey gravy, with all of your ingredients, least of which was turkey when I read you recently, and the unpronounceable ingredients whose names I should be able to give full voice to, I apologize. You are both the whole and the sum of all of your parts. I don't know if you wish in deep form to be used. You know. By the way, check out Theory of Everything podcast on PRX. It's a member of Radiotopia. Just search for Theory of Everything in your podcast tab. But anyway, oh, turkey gravy. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to use you further as a device in making a metaphor about rumination and how... wondering tonight if this was a true apology or, I'll be still thinking about it, turkey gravy. Maybe I could cradle you here and say, hey, I'm sorry. If I could make a podcast just for things in my cupboard, universally, of course. I mean, the great cupboard that holds us all called is it the universe or the galaxy? Oh, turkey gravy, if I could hold you in my heart, that'd be a good idea, but to hold you like I'm holding you in my heart, to tell you a bedtime story tonight, to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake, using these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Not modified with cornstarch, not dehydrated onions, or not like those two containers of crunchy onions also in my cupboard, along with the cranberry and the cream of mushrooms, all in my one day Thanksgiving cupboard. Oh, turkey gravy, maybe I'm just here to soothe you too. To take your mind off of stuff, any existential feelings you might have, especially when you say, well, why couldn't you just, maybe you had your whole community there and your friends, you're just a can of gravy. Okay, well, it sounds like you're talking to me now. Why don't you get in comfortable? I'm rocking you so gently, thinking about your viscosity. And saying, as a canned good, maybe I'll just keep you forever. You truly are more, oh, enrobed in paper that says Sunny Select. Oh, glue that binds you to the can that holds you. Oh, gravy, you are great, and I doth apologize for not living up to, well, I guess I have lived up to, if you couldn't choose me, though. But I soothe you, okay, gravy. Thank you for hearing me tonight. And to everyone else out there, yeah, maybe it's time. You know, I'll be here to take your mind off stuff, but in the moments before the podcast or after, go ahead and picture a kitten in your arms or a puppy or baby or a can of turkey gravy. Snuggled in as we gently rock it, soothing from the heart and saying, huh, I know. And let the, you know, even though this can is covered in, you know, paper that says turkey gravy with a perfect picture of deliciousness on its cover, let it reflect back to you. You can rock yourself at the same time. Those forgotten cans, maybe they don't need to be ruminated on. Maybe they'll fully forgive us 100% right to turkey gravy and say no rumination needed for the ode we sing in your honor. And, you know, to especially with this gently rocking, don't you like it? Oh, turkey gravy. Both a symbol and a reality at the same time. Thank you. And thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate your time and checking the show out, especially if you're new. Give it a few tries. No reason you wouldn't be skeptical, especially at this point. But I'm here to help, to take your mind off stuff. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, we're talking about episode 9, Don't Let the Good Life Pass You By. And this is the last episode before the break in the season. There's a cloud hanger on this one. Till we meet again, till we return to the good place. Opens with a 5 a.m. wake up. And I said, are those hazel eyes I'm seeing, are they blue? Are they green? Let me just look here. They're about to come on. There's the NBC peacock. There's the eyes. It's a gray, green, gray, blue, like a quilt, a man getting out of bed. And I said to myself, what in the name of Better Call, or is that Martin Mall? I really did say that. I was like, who is this, Michael McKean or Martin Mall? And went back and forth as they showed it. At first I was certain, but then there was a couple of shots where I said, no, this could be Martin Mall. Like maybe, and they said, either way, I'm buckled up for a ride. There's an 8-track cassette player, a Mama Cass Elliott song plays. It's all part of a morning prep montage. He's reading Pete Singer, The Most Good You Can Do, which is a book, or it's a real book, working on solar panels, harvesting radishes, washing radishes. At first I was like, he's canning, but then there wasn't any liquid in the cans. So then I said, no, he's more jarring for storage than canning and preserving radishes for donations. So more of a transport method for the Alberta Food Bank. Then, and I guess I thought he was in Calgary. Maybe he's in Calgary, Alberta, right? I don't know. That'll come up later. Then he's, at first I thought he was journaling, but now in the, context of the episode, I think he's like accounting for things. So maybe a form of, I thought of a word I could trademark, what's it called? Like when you have the book, the accounting book, not life accounting. That could be a good one, but that sounds a little bit, I mean, that's what he's actually doing. It's like a journal. I guess life journaling is not the right word. What is it called? Not a register. Life registering? No, trademark. I thought of it. What's it called? If it's not a journal, it's a ledger. Life ledgering. That's what he's doing. And I'd like to trademark that for a future book, Life Ledgering. It'll come out in 2028. Ledgering your life for happy, you know, and more, you know, like a new form of life ledger. Get yourself a life ledger. Yeah, but so he's doing that, and there's a knock at the door, and they say, hello. And it's a reveal of Doug Forsett. Michael's totally starstruck, which is super cute. And he says, we're here with the Calgary Times something. They have press badges. Calgary Times something. Journal, maybe? I put Examiner, but I don't think it fits on the press pass badge. Maybe it does. Or Express, Calgary Times Express, Calgary Express. Maybe there's a joke in there I missed. So they have press pass badges. Michael says, I'm Michael Scoop. This is Janet Scoop. She's my sister. We're the Scoops. And then there's a millisecond joke reaction from Janet, which is gold. So don't miss it on your second or third rewatch. She says, oh boy. Then they talk about, we're doing a human interest story on you, Doug. We heard about how you live off the grid. I just noticed the first time Doug has a lamp with a, like a hand-painted lampshade, with kind of watercolor painting lampshade, which is interesting. And he says, well, is your paper printed on recycled paper? They say, yeah. He says, all right, then. And then there was this moment that kind of stuck out to me, both for its cuteness, but also as like, is this scene going to pay off later in the show? Not the episode, but Janet takes his photo, and Michael's trying to get it just like the portrait of young Doug Forsett. You know, my life as young Doug Forsett, my portrait of a young Doug Forsett. And it was just a moment that stuck out to me. And I just like how cute Michael wants to get it the same as the portrait. Like, look there, you know, do this with your face. Then they're having a fireside chat. He says, yes, 1972, Randy and I had a mushroom salad, and I saw it with perfect clarity, how to live the perfect life. Now behind him, I think he's in a rocking chair. There's an Afghan. And it has, it's square, it has yellow, lime green, dark green, light brown, squarish designs with the yellow frills on the ends, or whatever, are those tassels? I don't know. And he talks about how he learned to maximize his point totals. Michael says, that makes perfect sense. Then he says, oh, geez, you've been here, like, for 10 minutes, I haven't offered you water or radishes, would you like something? They say, water. So he leaves, and Michael's still starstruck. And he says, how cool is he? He goes, stars, they really are just like us. And Janet says, Jesus, he's lucky he didn't have the vision Randy had about a world of ears. And Michael says, he really is the blueprint. Then he brings glasses of water, another character-revealing moment. His glasses are mismatched, which is kind of cool because he has these, like, oh, he gets his glasses at the thrift shop or whatever. He also has an old school aluminum ice tray. One of the glasses is smooth glass with wheat painted on it. And then the other glass is has a design to it or a texture to it, like ice cubes almost, which would seem good to hold and drink out of. He also says, I brought ice cubes and cozy, you know, you have your water wherever you want. Then there's a nice funny twist on the water. Then we go to the Puking Moose Saloon, which has some nice signs, signage and wallpaper and stuff. And Cheaty has this funny moment because he's un-Cheaty. He says, saving souls is great and saving souls is great, but, it's time to relax and kick back. I need to re-render my chorf. And they say, what did you say? He said, I don't know, but I'm tired. I got jet lag. Jason's also very likable and amusing. He says, hey, Jesus, there's a pool table. You want to play some pool? Then Eleanor watches him go to the pool table. She's kind of staring and smiling. And she says, Tahani, can I ask your advice? And not to go off topic, but Tahani says, do you want to ask my advice about your grating speaking voice? And I think that's funny because I get that email every day, like literally every day, sometimes more than once a day or on iTunes or something, where somebody talks about my voice. It's always amusing to me because they are in belief that they're the first person, or they've captured some way to talk about my voice in a not so nice way ever. And I'm always like, you know, I've heard that 1,000 times. And then I recycle. But it's just weird to say, well, why don't you just not listen if my voice is so grating? But Tahani's solution is elocution lessons. And Eleanor says, what? No, I wanted to talk about Chidi. And then she says, oh, yeah, tell me about Chidi. Really funny exchange. Then our Janet's doubts start to creep in about Doug. So she kind of doing the truth telling or representing the audience too. She says, doesn't he seem lonely? Or they say that to him. And he says, well, I'm friends with snails. Here's one of my friends right here. He also says, you know, I don't want to be mean to radishes. That's why I only eat radishes. Lentils have the smallest impact. Then we go back to the bar and they're going to play No Rules Pool, which is called Jacksonville Style Pool. And if you want to pronounce it correctly, you say all the syllables really fast, but you got to hit all the syllables to say it like Jason, which kind of means you make up your own rules and points. So Chidi says, why not? He scores 5 million. It did make me want to put this out to like people that are smarter than me, or like think about this stuff more. Like, what would be, how would this game work? Does everyone have to be honest to play it, or just joyfully immersed in the game? I mean, that kind of seems like Jason's perspective. And then Chidi also kind of ends up getting immersed in the joy of the game briefly. Does it have to be a non-competitive thing? How does a game work where you choose your own score? Can it ever operate in a fair way? Or what kind of personalities would it take for it to just be fun? I guess you'd say, do you have the ability to have fun? I would say, probably better off watching as a third party, watching the TV show version of it, where someone, Jason, say, that sounds super fun. And Chidi might say, well, I may be able to find a way to have fun with this. Let me see. I don't know. You could probably do an hour about that. Then Tahani, I said awkward on giving advice, but I don't know, maybe it's just a looks or maybe it's a questions. But then she says, don't you want to know how Chidi feels? Because Eleanor's kind of talking about her trips to the reboots. And she kind of says in the end, isn't it important to tell someone how you feel? Then we hop back to Doug, and he's a caretaker of 71 dogs and dog friends that he's discovered. He does Raymond's laundry. Raymond arrives, loses Doug's shoe. And I guess this is where the cracks form, and Janet starts to see them first because he says, my job's just to make people like Raymond happy. That's how the system works. He does say, remember, with a big question mark, which I said, is that another hint, or is that just a referral to the earlier in the episode? And somebody says, oh, then there's a commercial. And Janet says to Michael, like, Michael, you got to face facts. I don't know about this guy. He just eats radishes and lentils. He's a happiness pump. And he says, a happiness pump? She says it was one of Chidi's lessons. I think it's a counter argument to determinism. She says, Doug just does things. You can't just do stuff to make people happy at your own expense. It's not sustainable. And it may not be ethical. I think that may be like the broader question. What's your deeper motivation? Which is kind of makes me identify with Doug in a different way. Because sometimes I do think about when you make a lot of decisions, based on ANEXI, you know what I mean? But then they say, okay, I think we got everything we need, Doug. We're going to head out. He says, thanks, Mark. And then he goes, oh no, your name's Michael. I'm going to lose points. And then he says, let me give you a haircut. Then he bumps into a snail. He says, does anyone know any snail first helping? Anybody got any tape? Then we go back to Jacksonville Style Pool. And Chidi's really having fun. He scores 30 million, blows Jason's mind. But then it's time for Eleanor and Chidi to talk. So they go to a booth. And Eleanor starts to tell him, and she goes, "You and I are like, we're like a Bob." And then she goes, "Bomba John," because Bomba John walks in. But she goes, "Yeah, yeah, we are kind of like a little Bomba John, huh?" And she goes, "No, doof." Then Vicky and other, she goes, "These are beings from the good place that isn't so good." Tahani says, she tells Tahani and Jason, who Tahani says, "Just because people wear stonewashed denim." Then Jason goes into action mode. Jason action season, "Hello, I'm Sean." Oh, so then some action happens, and then Sean says, "Hello, I'm Sean. Where's Michael?" Then we go to like a memorial, and we see some memorials from Rosa Parks, the deer, being who rode a deer, 2007. Franklin Delano Raccoon, 2007. Abraham Lincoln, Einstein, Mandela Goose, 2015. Martin Luther, Gandhi, Tyler Moore, a little, you know, that was funny. 20, whatever, this year, 2018, maybe, snail. And Doug's making a speech about the snail. He's even using inclusive pronouns. There's eight total memorials. So I wondered who else was being memorialized. Life, Love, and the Limits of Scotch Tape. He says, "Happy Slimy Trails." And he says he's going to walk to Edmonton. And Michael says, "Can I ask you a few more questions? Or maybe I could give you some advice." And he says, "I've been a reporter for a long time on this crazy blue marble. Met a lot of regular folks. And I've never seen someone dedicated to making other people happy." And Michael says, "Dude, you got to loosen up, bud. Have an ice cream or a chicken parm. Drink some regular water." Michael's like a little bit kindly exasperated. And he says, "You got to relax." And Doug says, "No, no, man, I can't risk it. Everything I do is being measured. I'm going to go to a snail charity." Then we cut back to the bar. The hot mailman dude is behind the bar. He looks a bit like that guy in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Then Sean's making a speech about how much he loves seeing the looks on people's faces. Best part of my job. And Eleanor makes a speech as they zoom in on her about how they're outmatched by Michael. Yeah, it's a total bust. And then Michael rolls in. They says, "Hello, Michael." And they cut to a commercial. Then Michael says, "Hello, Sean. Other buds from other worlds." And they're trying to decide what to do because they're going to say, "We're going to put you through the portal. You know, we have our own portal to the bad place." Then Janet, a really fun scene, great way to take a break on. Like, there's this full choreographed, but full-on action Janet scene. I wonder if there's any Janet Jackson, but it's more of a action movie Janet scene. Tahani shows off her 12 years of fencing. Jason and Janet have a small moment. It made my heart palpitate. She says, "Thanks, Jason." Let's see. "How did you know?" Oh, because Chidi and Eleanor are behind the bar. So then Eleanor spills the beans, you know, and she says, she spills it like, "Yeah, like we're a thing, like a thing in love," she says. "And I think I'm in love with you again here now in Canada in this bar," or whatever. Janet goes into the door. She gets her powers back. Then they say, you know, "The day is saved. We did it." And they say, "No, no, Janet did it. Thank you, Janet." Then they talk to Sean. He says, "We build our own door." Michael says, "Why can't you leave us alone?" Or somebody says that. He goes, "I want your nostrils. I love them." And he says, "Just to have a hunch, it's not going to work out for you, for anybody, not even Doug Forsett. And I just wanted you to know that." And Michael sends him out, and he says, Don't you want to know? He goes, no, why do you let that guy keep saying mean stuff? And then Michael's kind of stuck. He says, geez, I thought Doug was the blueprint. Maybe the system is all really is not correct. And he says, we got to figure out some evidence, go to the source, to the accountant. And he says, you guys stay at Doug for sets, take care of his puppies and his laundry. And, but then all of the other people like Glenn and everybody else come back into the bar from the not so great place. And Janet says, this is really hard to end the season because I said, I want to see what Janet's void is like. But she goes, why don't we all go into my void? And she goes, but say goodbye to Earth because when you go into my void, you'll be voided. And they say goodbye, Earth, and then it cuts. And that was the end of the episode. Really, really good. Really, really fun. If this is like I don't know how long the break's going to be, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It'd probably be if maybe 6 weeks, actually, because it's November. Probably start off a couple weeks into January, maybe. But a great way, great fun. I mean, without a doubt. But yeah, let's go over some of the stuff that came up in the episode here. I'm just waiting for Evernote to fire up. Here I am. I mean, I don't know. The episodes just have different kind of notes to them. I didn't look at who wrote each episode. And I'm sorry about that, but I felt like this episode was like, they always have the nice balance of emotion, comedy. And yeah, but let's talk about eye color, because that was the first thing that came up, which is a polygenic phenotypic character determined by two distinct factors, the pigmentation of the eye's iris and the frequency dependence of scattering of light by the turbid medium in the stroma of the iris, which is cool. I want to look up what hazel is, though. Classification of color, structural color. Green irises, for example, have some blue and some yellow. Brown are mostly brown, but some have a limbal ring. I think there's a musical with a song, Come Into the Limbal Ring, I think. Let's see. I'm trying to, where's the changes in eye color? Let's see. There's even a Martin scale on eye color, maybe. Here's the ones they have listed. Amber, blue. A lot about blue eyes, brown, gray, green, and then hazel. And what does hazel even mean? At first I thought my eyes were hazel, but I'm not sure. It's due to a combination of Rayleigh scattering and moderate amount of melanin in the iris's anterior border layer, according to Wikipedia. Hazel eyes often appear to shift in color from brown to green. Although hazel mostly consists of brown and green, the dominant color can be brown, gold, or green. This is how many people mistake hazel eye colors. I guess I'm looking at this one hazel. I think that might be David Copperfield's eyes. Who's the magician? Is that David Copperfield? And definitions can vary. So then there's also red and violet eyes. And of course, we say, no, Scoots. And I'd say, I agree with you. This eye colors come in a spectrum. But yeah, that's what happens when you just go on, gloss over eye color. But again, I'm not even sure. Maybe the eyes were gray in the opening. Like right now, I'm doing the research portion. Now, how about Michael McKean? I mean, if you want to talk about somebody to look up to, he's someone to do so. He was on Laverne and Shirley. He played Lenny. He was on SNL in the 90s. He's been in several Christopher Guest films, including Spinal Tap. Is Spinal Tap a Christopher Guest film, or was that a Rob Reiner movie? Or is this Rob Reiner in Spinal Tap? He was lead guitarist. He's playing a guitar in his Wikipedia picture. Lead vocalist and co-lead guitarist in Spinal Tap as Hubbins and in Mighty Wind. He won a Grammy for A Kiss at the End of the Rainbow and was also nominated for Best Song Academy Award. plays Chuck McGill on Better Call. And I mean, that's like a holy mackerel. He's from Long Island, Seacliff. So shout out to the Strong. Was a student at Carnegie Mellon. That's where, is that where he met? Oh, he met Harry Shearer? Oh, no, after graduation. Yeah, he was one member of Lenny and Squiggy. Let's see. Yeah, he's in a movie with Kiefer Sutherland and Dennis Hopper. Other shows, yeah, like really like a wide spread career. You could go on and on, but just someone that I don't know. I always like it. He won a Celebrity Jeopardy against Jane Curtin and Cheech Marin in 2010. I would love to see that. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, too. Holy cow. But it was him and not Martin Mull. And you might say to yourself, who's Martin Mull? And, you know, we've got a very diverse audience. And I wanted to give everybody a chance to be exposed to Martin Mull. Let's see, he was on... for Hartman and then Fernwood Tonight, Mary Hartman in the Mary Hartman spinoff, Fernwood Tonight, Colonel Mustard in the movie Clue. He was on the TV, like TV shows, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Roseanne, Danny Phantom, Arrested Development. He's also like someone that plays the guitar in his picture. Let's see, he was in Taxi, Golden Girls even, holy mackerel. Yeah, I recently saw him in Mr. Mom, which I rewatched a couple months ago. What else? He was a guest star in Hollywood Squares. You see, in the final season, 2003 and 2004. Let's see, Gene Parmesan on that. He's also been in other sitcoms. He plays music. I think he does art, too. Yeah, he's also known for art, like pop art, collage, photorealist paintings. One of his books was on the cover of My Sister, My Love from Joyce Carol Oates. And a cover of Steve Martin, Edie Brickell album, Love Has Come For You. And, I mean, another, just a person that, really varied career, but also very funny, and grounded. I guess that's why I almost like, they're different. They're both in a lot of mockumentaries and they both have this kind of grounded, dry, humanistic, humor, I would say. Maybe, I mean, maybe not, maybe you don't agree with me, but that's cool. But so we'll talk about 8-track tapes. Now, these were getting phased out by the time I came around, but you'd still see them occasionally, like on one of my cousins had it in his car. 8-track tape, formerly known as Stereo 8, commonly known as 8-track cartridge, was a magnetic tape recording technology before cassettes, and even alongside cassettes for a time. It's considered obsolete and was relatively known outside of the United States, UK, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, and Japan. Listen to this history, though. This is where it gets interesting. Stereo 8 was created by a consortium led by Bill Lear of Learjet, Ampex, Ford Motor Corporation, General Motors, RCA, and it was a further development of a StereoPak 4-track cartridge. Later Quadraphonic Sound, then Quad 8. It came after Reel to Reel, which was too expensive or practical for home use. And they developed these tape cartridges, an endless loop tape cartridge designed in 1952. And Bill Lear got in on this at some point, and they kept doing it. Then the Stereo 8, Learjet Stereo 8-track cartridge. It came out in 1963. It had neoprene rubber and nylon pinch roller and a cartridge. Just some improvements. It was a commercial success. because of the booming auto industry. In 1965, Ford put it in their cars, factory installed. Let's see, an option in the Mustang, Thunderbird, and Lincoln. RCA introduced 175 cartridges from some of its labels. In 1967, Ford's vehicles, all of them offered this as an upgrade option. So you've probably seen it in other movies, like in a combo with a radio. Some offered a combo 4, 8, and 12-track players. Even though it had problems, it wasn't totally banned, you know, like companies, it was steadily more and more popular. Home players in 66. They missed out on the boombox boom, I think, but they did have those, Tandy Corporation. Oh, no, few manufacturers offered them, but Tandy, Radio Shack did. For a short time, they were considered a viable alternative to record, vinyl records, especially with car use. They came in Rolls Royces and Bentleys even. Early karaoke machines, quiz games, but then the decline started in the 70s when the compact cassette arrived, and they were phased out of retail stores by 82 and out of Columbia and RCA record clubs in 88. Most rare releases are Stevie Ray Vaughan's Texas Flood and Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band Live, 1975-85. So, the debate among collectors about the last commercial 8-track released by a major label is either Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits, that's what it seems like, it, but released by Radio Shack. Radio Shack keep putting out blank ones. But it survived as a professional broadcast cart for a decade longer radio stations. So there's a little bit. There's a lot more if you link into this article from the show notes if you want to know more. Well, let's talk a little more about Mama Cass. Mama Cass Elliott. She was known as Mama Cass, singer and actress, member of the Mamas and the Papas. She had 5 solo albums, and she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Born in Baltimore, Maryland. Adopted the name Cass in high school, borrowing it from the actress Peggy Cass, according to Wikipedia. She assumed the surname Elliott sometime later. She went to the same high school Jim Morrison went to. Let's see. While in high school, she got interested in acting. She did some acting. And she left school before graduation or after graduation, shortly before, to pursue an acting career. She was in a touring version of The Music Man. She left to pursue that, but she lost the part to Barbara Streisand. She worked as a cloakroom attendant at the showplace where she would also kind of sing while working. I was in the Greenwich Village. Then she moved to D.C. to attend American University, though some people say Swarthmore, is what she sings about one of her songs. That's when the folk scene was kicking it. And, you know, people like John Brown, Tim Rose, Jimi Hendrix, and let's see, Tim Rose, Elliott, and Hendrix teamed up with... So she was bouncing around these groups, Love and Spoonful, New Journeymen, new people all in these different bands. A popular legend about Elliott is that her vocal range was improved by 3 notes when she walked through something, and it was confirmed in an interview with Rolling Stone. However, they said that was story was an explanation, a different explanation. Then they became the Mamas and the Papas, the New Journeymen. They came up with that name. Then a solo career. Dream a Little Dream of Me was released on Dunhill Records. Somebody bugged her for taking bed linens. And she said, I liked them, so I took them. Let's see. Then... you know, very beloved. She had a Mama Cass television show, Don't Call Me Mom. Also another show called Don't Call Me Mom Anymore. She was a guest on a ton of shows and a beautiful, beautiful voice, beautiful, beautiful presence. You know, a lot more in here about Mama Cass Elliott. Also a beautiful song to open the episode. Another thing at the top of the episode was this book that Doug Forsett was reading by Pete Singer, The Most Good You Can Do. How Effective Altruism is Changing Ideas About Living Ethically. And this is a real book. It's from the Yale University Press. I'll link to it. You could even get an exam copy if you need it. And this is what it says on yalebooks.yale.edu. From the ethicist the New Yorker calls the most influential living philosopher, a new way about thinking and living ethically. It says Pete Singer's books have been trying to upset our complacency. And now he's directing our attention to effective altruism built on the simple but profound idea that living a fully ethical life means doing the most good you can do. That's so interesting from this episode. It requires an unsentimental view of charitable giving. How good is the organization you're going to be giving to? Will they do the most with your money or will somebody else? It shows how living altruistically often leads to greater personal fulfillment than living for oneself. It develops the challenges Singer's made to those who donate to the hearts into charities focused on helping citizens rather than for those who can do the most good. Wait a second, Pete. Hold on. Yeah, it's worth it. Check it out. He divides his time, ironically enough, between New York City and Melbourne, Australia. I don't know. Was that where they were? Were they in Melbourne? What about the radish? I know radishes have come up on this show before. Let them eat radishes, I think I once said. It's a root vegetable consumed throughout the world. Mostly eaten as raw as a crunchy salad vegetable. Numerous in varieties, size, flavor, color, and length of time to maturity. They have the sharp flavor due to different compounds in the plant. They're sometimes grown as companion plants because they don't have to deal. They grow. They're hardy, I guess. They can be ready within a month, where larger varieties can take several months. Can also be a catch or cover crop in the winter or a forage crop. There's no archaeological records to help determine the early history of radishes, but they've been around for a very, very long time. Good cool season crop, as we said. And I love them. Whenever I get, sometimes I miss them, you know, because kids don't like them as much. But I mean, really, a tasty little plant, if you don't mind me saying so. What about elocution? You know who could use that? It's a study of formal speaking, pronunciation, grammar, style, and tone. In Western classical rhetoric, elocution was one of the five disciplines of pronunciation, which was the art of delivering speeches. Orators were trained not only in proper diction, but on the uses of gestures, stance, and dress. Elocution emerges a formal discipline in the 18th century. Thomas Sheridan lectures on elocution in 1762-1775. John Walker, Elements of Elocution. That was one of my favorite. I think someone redid that. I don't know if that was Wu-Tang or something. Elements of Elocution. That was a good one. Then the publication of other works. Let's see. In her recent book, The Elocutionist, Women, Music, and the Spoken Word, Marion Wilson Kimber addresses the oft-forgotten female-dominated genre of elocution set to musical accompaniment. That sounds pretty cool. And you could read a lot more about it. But obviously, I need to relocate from elocating. And then move on to lentils. which are a legume, edible. You know, lentils go through seasonal hype, you know. I mean, every couple of years, people are up or down on them. I know a lentil-based woman named Agatha. It's a lens-shaped seed, grown pods, usually two seeds to each. Split lentils are known as dal. It could be eaten with rice or rotis. It's a dietary staple in India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. And as a food crop, its production comes from Canada, India, and Australia. They're the oldest known pulse crop around, one of the earliest crops domesticated and found in carbonized remains dating to 11,000 BCE. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, you could read about it all day long, but the lentil production in 2016, Canada, over 3 million tons, India, 1 million tons, Turkey, 365,000, United States, 255,000, and Nepal, 253,000. So Canada, man, holy cow, no wonder they were talking about lentils up there. That's interesting. I wonder if they, really, that he's growing lentils, and they like a firm, smooth seabed. Who doesn't? Seedbed, and seabed. Yeah, that's a little bit about lentils. Here's a website that comes up a lot, and I just wanted to share it if you're listening here. When I do random searches for stuff about a good place and I can't find research, this website comes up. It's ggia.berkeley.edu. I think I shared an article about it before, but Greater Good in Action, Science-Based Practices for a Meaningful Life. And they have like a lot of great stuff on here. I'll link to it, but ggia.berkeley.edu, Greater Good in Action. It's definitely worth checking out. I think it could help. They have like, depending on whatever you're going with, it's science-based too. So we got a couple more things to get through here. Stonewashing is a textile manufacturing process designed to give new cloth a worn-out appearance. It also helps increase the softness and flexibility of stiff, rigid fabrics like canvas and denim. The process uses large stones to roughen up the fabric being processed. They're placed in large industrial clothes washers with large stones, and they get tumbled with them. I always wondered what it meant. Levi Strauss claims to have invented stone washing. Great Western Garment Company, that was acquired by Levi's, says they invented it in the 50s. Claude Blanquiet says they invented it. Jeans company Edwin's claims to invented it. A lot of companies claim in stone washing. It creates a faded, worn appearance. Affiliated with Western style soft acid wash denim is washed with pumice stones and chlorine. That was popular in the 60s, in the 80s, I think. I remember that. Mainstream popularity. Oh, this is still talking about acid wash jeans. I thought we were talking about stone washed. I guess that's pebble washed would be acid washed. Not to quibble with, you know. Okay, what about walking from Edmonton to Calgary? I think that's where Doug Forsett was going to walk. Of course, I wanted to look that up. It looks like it would take straight 62 hours, and Doug's a slow walker, so, or 64 hours. This is in Canada, so we're doing kilometers. And it would be like, so 3 days, I guess it'd be nonstop walking, 24, 48, yeah. 12, 24, yeah, it'd take about 6 days because you couldn't walk more than 12 hours a day, you silly gooses. I forgot how long Doug said it was going to take. There's two main routes that come up on the map. And, you know, Calgary's, if you're leaving from Calgary, you got Banff, right, or the thing. I know some people that used to live up here. So you go through Red Deer. I know some people that lived there. And then eventually you'll end up in Edmonton. Let's see the name. You'd take 814-2A most of the way is one route. Though you could take 791, which looks like a little bit more, less busy, as an alternative. It looks like you could also take 2. Maybe you just can't walk on 2. I don't know. But either way, it's a straight shot. As the crow flies, but even the roads, it's a fairly straight shot. Because of my internet stuff, I'm looking at the map version, but I'm sure it's very, very scenic. And, it's something you could do. Probably don't want to do it in the winter. What we could do is like take a train from Vancouver to Calgary, then walk to Edmonton, or, fly into Edmonton, walk to Calgary. And you could say, what about Saskatoon or Regina? I've met a couple podcasters from there. So there's a lot of possibilities, but it is walkable, but a long walk. But I think everything is walkable. Then the other thing Doug Forsett was into was snail charities. So I had to Google, is there any snail charities? And what came up actually was from brightonontheinside.co.uk. So from Brighton in the UK, this community article, I don't see an author. The streets are teeming with snails as snail space gets started. And no, it's not some sign that something going on. It's a brilliant, it's Martlet's Hospice's brilliant art and fundraising project, Snail Space. It's a giant snail's mail. It's the local charity that cares for and supports people. It's teamed up with Wild and Art. What a wonderful project with a wonderful caretaking mission. They did snow dogs in 2016, and they wanted a mass participation sculpture trail that was fun for everyone while raising funds. And whatever year this article's from, maybe it's this year. I don't know. I don't see a time on it. It wasn't until the 18th of November you would find all sorts of sizes of snails around Brighton and Hove. 50 giant snails decorated by well-known artists and residents, David Shrigley, Art and Believe, Cassette Lord. Snail Space website has all the stories behind the art. There's 57 junior snails decorated by children, and each snail is totally different, and they recommend use the Snail Space routes to find them. And please let me know if you checked out the snail. Hashtag be more snail. That's one word, be more snail. Include me on it. Let me know about your snail walk. And it's just aligned with Doug Forsett. They're raising snails for people, a project helping people. But, who says we can't do five? That eventually they can say, well, let's put 5% towards the snails. But it sounds like something Chidi and Jason could get behind. It sounds fun. It sounds artistic, wonderful. And I want to say wonderfully good night to you. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody who took the time to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can do the same just in your app on your iOS or on your desktop on iTunes. I want to thank M. Fishy Poo, who says, works like a charm. I honestly had no idea what this podcast is about. That's how good Scooter is at making me fall asleep. His voice is monotone and smoothing. I make it about 5 to 6 minutes in. Discovered it through MFM, and good old Georgia recommended that it puts you to sleep in seconds. Great listen if you're like me and you have a hard time getting asleep. Thanks, M. Shark. Then Sunrise Hope says, disappointed. You don't like the language. Questionable episodes that end up not putting me to sleep. 1 star. Then Paxton Laserbeam. I don't know if that's Bill. Amazing. It puts me to sleep every night and I wake up happy and ready to have a good day. Wow, that's nice. It really works. That's from Buried Treasure, like T-R-A-Y. Podcast has been putting me to sleep a couple weeks now. Before long, I was one of those that needed TV on. But wow, this works so much better. Never make it past 10 minutes like magic. Thank you. Thank you. Then Morgan P. from the UK says, more annoying than boring. Love the concept. Don't like the grating voice, never-ending intro of sponsors. Actually, we're lucky if we have one sponsor in intro. And hope for a relatively swift transition to a story, i.e. the purpose of this podcast. We're slow to transition into the story. Oh, boy, just even the, I don't know if you actually heard the recaps ever of one of our serial stories. Those also take like 5 or 6 to 8 minutes. So you're for sure overall not soothing nor boring to listen to. Simply irritating in more ways than one. It delightfully accurate for you, I guess. Cats Zen. I don't know if that means cats in Zen, but they will say it works. Just like Scooter said, it made no sense to me the first couple of times I listened. Morgan will hear this one and re. But I'm glad I did. I have a hard time falling asleep. Wake up several times a night. Now I just queue up 6 or 7 episodes, wake up hearing the dulcet, creaky dulcet tones, and fall back asleep. Highly recommend. D White 07 017. Perfect podcast. Don't know how he does it, but I turn on the podcast, listen for 3 minutes, and it's morning. Better than DRUGS's. Sobansky says it's the best one, best podcast for sleep. So good a podcast, it puts me to sleep. It's from Fun with Owen. I used to not fall asleep until late at night, but now your podcast makes you fall asleep every time. I like how you talk about nonsense. Thank you. You make this a pond because passport, because I think they're doing it because in without it, I'd still be awake right now. Thank you, Scooter. Thank you, Fun with Owen. Speaking of brain bots, here's TomBot 5000, one of the most famous, so wonderfully boring. Haven't slept so good since I attended an Introduction to Soils class in college. And yes, that was a real class attended by a robot named TomBot 5000. And finally, SimpSam says, beautiful surprise. I had no confidence this would work since I usually need to sleep in silence. Nonetheless, I found myself suddenly struggling to sleep in the middle of my pregnancy, and I was willing to try, and so glad I did. First few tries, I too tried to make sense of it, and therefore ended up laughing, because I thought it was funny, and I was shocked when I found myself waking in morning and not remembering any transition. Worked like a charm. My baby's almost 2 months old, and I stopped struggling getting to sleep, but now I listen because I enjoy it, and I sometimes miss Scoots. Rested parents are happy parents. A pleasant dose of nonsense. Give it a try. I'm pretty sure I never made it the story until I put it on for background noise during bath time. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show. You can do so, you know, in your apps. I think I said that. Sleeping Me is a list directly supported by listeners. It exists as a free podcast because of the listeners that support the show on Patreon and because of the ones that support the sponsors. That's what has this podcast free, so thank you for everybody doing that. Sleep With Me grows and finds new listeners. Number one way, word of mouth, in person or online. So thank you for using your power of honest sharing to help grow the show. Really, really thank you so much. You know, I feel so grateful when people share the show or share that they support the sponsors or support the show directly or share their story and their support with me. I really feel grateful and energized. So thank you so much for that. Also feel proud to work with Night Vale Presents, a wonderful collection of shows you can find at nightvalepresents.com. And I also feel proud once again to work with PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. If you're in the Boston area, you can check out the PRX podcast garage. And that's it. We queue up another show if you need it. I'm here. I'm here to help. Let me puff that pillow there for you. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. if you need support at supercast.com, and good night.